for your word. We thank you for all that we receive from it. And God, I pray that as we listen to what you have to say to us this morning, and what you have been saying to us, that we will take it into our hearts, live it, and act it, as challenging as it may be. In your name, amen. Amen. One of the privileges I have in being here is the interaction I have with the school. And I am over there most mornings saying hello to boys and girls and to parents coming in, seeing how they are. Things are good, things are bad. If someone wants to go get a cup of coffee after it, not a child, just to clarify. Some children would love to escape the classroom. But as they want to interact and go, there will be a, how are you, whatnot. And if I go into a classroom, there is always, oh, yeah, tell us a dad joke. Because that is the hook. And my dad jokes, as you all know, are top notch. They are incredible. But in sixth class, fifth and sixth class, as they just get that little bit older, there are questions that they have, not just what is the terrible dad joke that you're going to have, but they have questions that they think, because I have a collar, I must have the answer, because this knows everything. And on Wednesday, all of you are welcome to join me this Wednesday at 9 a.m. to sit down while I stand in a corner and answer the questions that these sixth class students have come up with. Would you like to hear some of these questions that they have come up with? And then you can decide whether you want to come with me or whether you will pray and fast. And I might even call the Archbishop back in for some of these questions. Okay, so here's some of these questions. What happens when we die? Do we get judged for our sin before we get told to go to heaven or hell? Do you really believe in God? Why? Do you believe all the stories they say Jesus has done? Was there ever a time that you didn't believe in God? Why do bad things happen to good people? Does God know what will happen in the future? How did God create the world? If God is real, how come we can't see him? When is his real birthday? I like that one. And that's payback, because at Christmas it said December 25th is not his birthday. Well, so when is his birthday? I asked for that. Why are there Protestants and Catholics? What are the main differences? Why did you start believing in God? Is God male or female? Did you ever feel embarrassed saying you were a Christian? What is the church not like different people, those who are gay? Have you ever heard messages from God? Have you ever lost your faith? How long have you been a Christian? Did you ever run into problems at school because of what you believe? What did you do about it? Why do you think people don't believe in God? If God was on earth, would he be open to talk to us, or would he be protected by angels? Does God have a real name? Do you believe in hell? Simple enough. I love it. I'm so excited. Because these questions that they have are legit questions. And you cannot say to a child who has thought through these questions from the space that they find themselves in, well, because. Or, well, God is here for you and all things will be revealed when we get to heaven. Is that good enough? Hands up if you think it is. Okay, so I'm going to take from that, none of us think that that is good enough. I'm not saying there's a right or a wrong answer, but I would veer towards that would be pretty close to being right. It is not good enough to pass things off, not to answer for what can actually be answered and looked at today. And there is a big difficulty with that. Because it means actually being vulnerable, not just with God, but with those around us as well. In some of the conversations I have found myself in with people, all people, young and old and very old, on deathbeds, when there are some serious questions, sometimes the best answer is, I don't know. don't know. That is the mystery. That is part of the mystery of what we have within our faith. But there are other areas that are not a mystery that sometimes I think the church just wants to keep it a mystery because we may not be comfortable with that particular truth or that answer. One of the things that the Archbishop was talking about last week was this balance of we have the law, we have truth, and we have grace. And how Jesus came to fulfill the law. I don't know, many of you I know were baptized when you were children. And then you took on those vows, your baptismal vows, when you were confirmed. Some of you experienced adult baptism, that you came into it and you chose to be baptized yourself, to take on those vows for yourself. And some of you may not be baptized. And if you want to be baptized, please come talk to me. It will be great. I will not pick you up in my arms, I guarantee you that. But it would be great. There is something beautiful and challenging and reckless with the vows that we get to say, entering into something that we may not know how it is going to go. It is like marriage vows. We say these vows, and then we may not know how things are going to go, but we have said our vows. There's a great story of this woman in America, had to be America, where she was wanting to be baptized, and she had not been baptized as a child, and she wanted to be baptized, and she was 6'6". She went to a Baptist church. And I don't know whether this was intentional. I like to think God's humor. It was intentional. The pastor there, the Baptist minister, was 5'6". And she went to him and got down on her knees and eyeballed him and said, "I would like to be baptized." And he was like, "This is fantastic." She was 6'6", and she had the most glorious hairstyle. We're talking top knot. I had to look that up. I'm going to say Marge Simpson. So she had that sort of a hairstyle of the hair was just another foot, at least, that added to her height. So this woman was close to 7 feet when she was being baptized. And she asked to be baptized, and in this particular Baptist church, they went down to where there was a little river, and they were baptized, and she went and she baptized. And as she was being baptized, when she was being put into the river, as he's standing there on scaffolding and putting her down, and she puts her chin to her chest, as usually happens when people are being put in for being baptism. But as she does this, the top knot does not get wet. Her hair does not get wet, but she's gone under, the hair is still dry. She comes out, they're singing, and she's delighted. Someone's taken a photograph, and she's realized her hair is still dry. She goes back to the minister saying, "I'm not completely baptized. I'd like for you to completely baptize me." He's looking at her going, "Seriously, that was a struggle. Okay, let's do this again." There are people in the crowd who are looking at this. This is a true story. There are people looking at this thinking, "What, has she just confessed a sin that he now has to go back and baptize her again because of this particular sin?" But after 3 attempts, and on the 3rd attempt, holding her forehead and pushing it back so everything is wet, and she comes up and she's out and she is delighted. And the idea of this woman wanted everything dead with Christ so that she could live in Christ. She wanted everything handed over. When we get children baptized, they have no choice. We have choice. They have no choice. So for them to give everything is fine. Confirmation, they may have some choice, but it can be family traditions or because this is what we do as a church, that is why it is done. We know what it is like to do things that we want to do and to do things that we do not want to do. How we wrestle with that. Jesus comes to John the Baptist, and John the Baptist says, no, 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 I can't baptize. You need to baptize me because I know who you are. I'm here to be baptized by you. And Jesus like, no, you need to baptize me because this is right. And for righteousness, this is the way it is. And John the Baptist agrees and baptizes Jesus. Clouds part, dove comes, Holy Spirit, and a voice from heaven. This is my Son, who I am well pleased. This is my Son, who I am well pleased. I think it is fair to say that all of us love to hear words of affirmation. All of us love to hear words that build us up and encourage us for where we find ourselves. And yet we get to do this most Sundays in how we do our creed, how we speak our creed together. We may stand and we say the creed together. When there is a baptism, which there will be here in a couple of weeks' time, when someone is coming to bring their children baptized and you're wondering, are they part of the church? Are they not part of the church? Is this legit? Or are they doing this just to get them into the school? I know the thoughts. And we feel it cheapens it. But can grace ever be cheapened? When the one who gives the grace gives it so freely, so lovingly, and it's the Father's to give and for us to receive. I am so aware that as we come to a morning like this morning, with the idea or the thought, whether you knew it or not, what it is to renew our baptismal vows, which we will do shortly. Can you? For what you have experienced in life up till now, for the joy that you have, for the heartbreak that you have, can you stand and say these words with heart? I know many will. I was thinking about that song, Helen, that you sang, and I haven't sang that Bible Church, the Hallelujah, 1975, great year. And in that, as we sang that when I was a kid, we'd sing this song, and all these memories keep flooding back. I was just thinking about it during the week when that sort of Jenny Mac, the life. I wonder whether I'd be standing here if you really knew what I was like many years ago. And you may wonder the same about yourself, about where you are, how things are, the interactions that you have, and looking to see what God has done in your life. Where God has met you, where God is meeting you, or where God desires to meet with you. And the lives that we may have that are known or that are unknown. You all know I love Christmas. You know I love Christmas. And I know the reputation of being a big child and being easy to get for once it's Star Wars, yay. All good, all simple. But for a season, Christmas was horrible. My best friend was killed in a car crash on Christmas Eve. And on Christmas Day, he lay in a hospital, and we were all hoping and praying that he would be okay. And on Stephen's Day, we were allowed to go up, just friends, we're allowed to go up and join the family and pray with him and for him. 11 o'clock, a doctor was coming to pronounce him dead. And then another doctor was coming at 2:30 because it takes two to confirm. And 11 o'clock comes and the doctor confirms he is dead. And me and my friends, we are so excited for the miracle that is going to happen because God is going to bring resurrection. And in that space of 3 hours of us pursuing God with tears and conviction, Jim still died. And in that place of death, and in his mum coming in and letting us know, and just not knowing what this was going to be like, for the next number of years, this was horrible. And yet the conviction is, I love Christmas. I love Christmas. I love the story of Christmas. I love the innocence of Christmas. I love what we can have in Christmas. I always think of Jim. But I think now with a wry smile because of some of the things that we did together, for the fun that we had. There is still sadness every now and again. But all of us have a story. All of us know where we meet God in the River Jordan with our joy or with our sorrow. We light candles every Sunday. We have candles because it is a reminder of the light. And in this season of Epiphany, where light meets darkness, where there is a wrestle of questions, where there's a wrestle of our joy but the reality of our pain, how do I cope with that? There is nothing that brings me more joy and humor at times when someone comes with a really difficult question and they ask, and the answer is, well, I believe what Jesus taught. And there's a, and I know what's going on in the head. It's, you haven't answered my question. And I'm like, I know. But what does Jesus say? Because that is what is important. Where is Jesus in this question? That is important. Where is Jesus in my joy? Where is Jesus in my pain? That is what we should be pursuing. And I want to encourage you this morning and challenge you as I am challenged. As I stand, as I listen to where people are at, where I know how people this time of year can be a time of joy because of its newness and the coming year and the excitement and the difficulty of the uncertainty of what is coming, the uncertainty of that future, of looking back at maybe some of the great things that happened in 2019 and some of the most difficult things that happened in 2019, and that wrestle of where Jesus is in that moment. Where do you see yourself in that place? Have I doubted? Have I lost faith? Oh, I have been like Jacob, where I have wrestled. I have fought. I have kicked out. I have lashed. I have swore. I have throttled. And I've nearly won every time. Because I think I could this time. Oh. And yet God beats me down with his grace. And I say beats me down, it's the wrong terminology. God meets me with his grace. God loves me with his grace. And in that place, as I bring my questions, and God is, what else? What else? And I may stand there empty-handed or nothing else to throw. But I am so tired, there is nothing else. And a hand reaches out. There is an embrace. Or there is love and support from those around me that help me stand. There is nothing more terrifying or more exhilarating than being in a crowd at a concert where everybody is rushing to the front to see and celebrate and that if you're so tired trying to fight people around you to get your space, that actually you just stop fighting. And you realize you just get to be carried everywhere people go because it's so crushing. And you're held up. Sometimes that's community. Sometimes that's church. Where we feel so weak and so broken that actually others get to carry us around as they stand with us. Jesus, after this moment, when God says, this is my son who I am well pleased, he then goes and faces temptation. the realization that Jesus has that his identity is completely in God the Father. That he is met, and others have got to acknowledge, where is this voice coming from? Who? What is this? This is the Son of God. The identity is being revealed. All of us have an identity. And all of us, as children of God, are called children of God. Some may have other names for you. You may have names for yourself. I can't wait for on Wednesday when the children have asked that question, what's God's real name? And I say, Frank. This look that some children will have, like, really? Did you know his name? I didn't know his name. George would have been more private. To say this name for that question, but then to actually remind them that God's name almost sounds like a breathing. Because God's name is life. And God's name brings life. Even in areas where we have experienced death, God brings life. God's name is love. Even where we have experienced hatred, God's name for you is mine. You are mine. No one can take you from me. You are mine. Your identity, as the world tries to wrestle with its own identity and all those that try to get that space, the identity that God has for you is you are his. You are his. And I want to encourage you in this coming year to remind yourself of who you are in God, who God desires for you to know he is for you. And if there is that struggle and that wrestle for you for where you find yourself and what you are facing, bring other people into that story who can carry you, who can bring you, who can stand with you and say, I've got this. I will say these words for you now as you struggle to say them, and I will pray these words over you to remind you of who you are in Christ. I want us to take a moment of silence, and however you find that space, just before we affirm or renew our vows, I encourage you to bring everything to God at this moment. Bring your joy, bring your sorrow, bring your hatred, bring your anger. Bring your disappointment. Bring your hope. Bring your expectations. Bring all of this to the God that says you are his. Let's just have a time of silence.